Hello, my returning fearless coaches, and a huge hello to my new listeners. My name is Becky Carlson, and welcome to the third season of the Fearless Coach Podcast. I am your host, talking about some of the toughest topics in college athletics. And today's topic is something that is affecting every athletic program from top to bottom. And I'm going to tell you what that is. But first, I want to acknowledge all of the coaches that I've been working with since Fearless started. And it has been a busy last 6 months. Your calls, your emails, your messages, you have exploded in my inbox, so much so that the number of my subscribers has skyrocketed, which is both good and bad, because seemingly when my numbers go up, it means the number of coaches is going down. But it also means that we have more educated coaches who are finding me and reaching out and are willing to connect, because we are desperately trying to piece together this puzzle on how to save our profession and the sports we coach from all of the chaos currently taking place in college athletics. So back to the topic that is affecting teams at all levels today. My chat is going to cover a top frustration for our coaches, but also offer some solutions. And as my great friend and mentor, Molly Grisham of Leadership LLC would always say, in order to be able to change our behavior, we need to recognize that pattern, but we need to give it a name. I am going to give it a name today. You hear all the time that athletes need more choices, more voices, more say. I would argue that this concept of constant voice and more say, A, is not being utilized properly, and B, as an open-ended privilege with a little bit of lacking in structure, they're almost more overwhelmed with more choices. Sad? Download an app. Angry? Go write something anonymous. Happy? Post it all over the place and get your likes. They have this immediate satisfaction and all kinds of choices and places for their voice. And these are mechanisms to chase dopamine as much as they want all day, every day. Now, Simon Sinek talks about this in his four areas with what is the downfall in what our young people are experiencing today, which translates over to our athletes. We have four areas of technology, poor parenting, environment, and social media. Now, if you haven't listened to it or read his content, you need to. But for today, I'm going to show you how this is impacting your teams when we talk about this concept of chasing dopamine. Now, every athlete on every team is doing it. When they're not with your team, they're not in class, they're scrolling. They're choosing every second what to respond to, what to like, what to scroll past. Ooh, I like that. That makes me happy. Dopamine hit. I don't like that. I disagree with that. I want to scroll past it and avoid it. Now let's translate this over and how these behaviors affect sport. Now a coach is having a rough training. The team is working individualistically in an application. Maybe it's a play, a strategy, or even a concept. Something as simple as keeping the locker room clean or getting trash off the bus when they exit. And you bring the team in to talk about your values. You are certain that this talk is going to hit home. You are sincere. You are reflecting team standards. You may even be sharing some mild sentiments of exhaustion for having to continue repetition. You're humanizing yourself. And the team is standing in front of you. And when you're finished, you ask if anyone would like to respond. And this happens. It's dead silent. Now, you just had a moment with them that you were sure may shift or elicit some type of response. Not even a head nod, blinking eyes, you got nothing. Now, right now, our coach population is listening to it. A portion of you are going, wow, I so get this. And if you haven't had this happen, please get in touch with me, because you are a pure anomaly. And I think these moments and the first image that comes to mind is a group of owls, wide-eyed, silent, staring back, no response, no movement. And we take a deep breath and we either feel like a complete failure or just plain fatigue sets in. No captains, no leadership group speak. It's just dead air. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you who do not know, a group of owls is referred to as a parliament. This is a term I use when my message goes out to parliament and sinks like a rock. You are standing up in front of parliament, and instead of just continuing on this pattern, I want to tell you what is likely happening with your athletes in this scenario so we can work on it and save you from wanting to quit. Depending upon what your team makeup is, the behavioral profiles and their tendencies, your message that something needs to be fixed or may not be right is falling flat because your conversation to them is happening during their scrolling. They don't want to hear the stuff that isn't going well. They haven't been conditioned to hear that. They want to scroll by you so they can choose and chase dopamine in another place. They're not getting dopamine off of hearing about what is not going well and how we can improve. This is why you'll see some check out. They look at their feet. They look away. But the most critical internal responses are those that are creating a narrative in that moment. As you are speaking, they are creating the narrative that coach is oppressive for not allowing them to scroll past. You're interrupting that process. Some will be processing how to hide the shame they feel. And even when that feedback is perfectly mixed with humility and responsibility, they are so focused on this being about the coach versus the team and control, this becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy that creates this circle of tension rather than open dialogue. Is a light bulb going off now? This circle pulls them away from performance-based behaviors and allows them to ignore their roles and place all of that responsibility on you. I get it. I've been there. In these moments, we are not looking for compliance. We know that. We are looking for feedback and open discussion, but they're not getting that hit. That's why you're not getting eye contact, the looks of shame, the poor body language. It makes you feel like a bully when you know you are not. This is a damaging group dynamic that even if one athlete after that talk moves in this direction, a very well-intentioned, carefully crafted, and non-elevated voice can seem threatening to them. It's an interruption of their process. They need to see that this is an opportunity to serve the team, not the coach. But we know, as coaches, we want the best for our teams, the best for our athletes. We want to be able to teach them these lessons. But I want you to remember and consider what is standing in the way of that so we can address that. This can be a rescue mechanism of the support staff, a toxic player, low self-esteem, the interruption of that dopamine, and so many other habits that are showing up on our doorstep that we're completely unable to gauge in the recruiting process. You know what I'm talking about, where the administrator said, well, you recruited that kid. And now you think that kid is a problem. You recruited them. These are things you cannot see. This is about redirecting this process to save your sanity and stop the act of creating parliament. So how do we do that? How does a coach do that? Well, we need to be clear that ambiguous questioning is often a dead end. I have fallen victim to this and I have corrected it. What do we think? What are our thoughts? It's too broad. And if you had more than one concept at play, they're not even sure which one that they want to or can respond to. So instead try, after I'm done speaking, let's move away from this being about what we should do because coach told us to do, or what is coach making us do? Let's change it over to the context of the question of what do we need to do based on this information that we've just received? What do we need to do for the team? Ask them to address each other rather than just you. Take a very small step away from the gathering to open up a little space and have them talk to each other. This can't be about you. Do not allow them to transfer this over onto you. Some of you are out there just shaking your head going, I've tried everything. And listen, I know you have. I'm with you. I'm tired too. But I want to add something on that perhaps in your own words you can share with your colleagues or even your admin if they have interest in actually working to improve the athletic department environment, because this is not just happening on one or two teams. For those of us out to solve this problem, we need to stop looking at this as an athletic problem, because when we do, we siphon ourselves off into compartments and fight amongst one another on how to get it done. We are not taking collective responsibility and we have created competition amongst ourselves. We have admin versus coaches, athletes versus parents, athletes versus coaches, endless examples of how we create these compartments. We need to see this larger shift in athletics as a microcosm of a downfall of our society for people to see the urgency. Let me give you an example. If I'm talking to an administrator about how I need more support to be able to instill and enforce the value of gratitude within the team, and all they're thinking about is the level of work they're going to have to do if the team is unhappy, then we have forgotten our duty as leaders. And we, all of us, are contributing to the breakdown of society. If we were to say to the admin, we used to be at a place that employers wanted to take our leaders. They wanted them. We used to be the pool that everybody wanted to dip into in order to get the best interns, the best entry level, or the future bosses. We won't be that anymore if we can't get this right now. We are contributing to the downfall of our own empire by ignoring the system of values in sport that has been such a staple in holding our industry up as those who are making leaders of tomorrow. Now, forget the NCAA. I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about a system that takes people, puts them together, makes them into a team, and then those members graduate and leave and make their own team in the professional world. That's the goal. That was the beauty of athletics. We're not there anymore. We are creating teams of individuals with adults who are afraid to utter the values of sport because we are so immersed in the fear that in the moment, there will be dissatisfaction. I want us all to consider the larger ramifications of catering to this dissatisfaction, which is ultimately an erosion of fundamental values. That same erosion is precisely why empires have crumbled. And the most fascinating parts of this trend is the parallel between what is happening inside sport and our society. Let's do a small sociology lesson here and talk about what actually happens when an empire crumbles. All throughout our history, we have seen this happen. And those contributing factors, what are they and how could they possibly apply to our teams? So here's some elements and contributing factors of how empires have fallen. So you see a decline in the population for the given extent of the empire. There's a decline in population. Two is a breaking apart of bureaucracy, a government, a trade, in smaller areas. Let me give you an example. So instead of both areas A and B being ruled by a decision of a small group in group A, there arises this new group in B that makes decisions independent of A. This is the shift from coaches being able to manage teams and more involvement from the administrative side that is currently taking place. We have lobbyists for athletes, politicians, and the landscape is completely different. So there's a breaking apart of the traditional, quote, government. Next is a reduction in the output and the complexity of the economy. The complexity of the economy, how does that play in? It absolutely plays in with the name, image, and likeness conversation front and center. And this introduction has drastically changed our landscape in the economy. This one's a big one, a loss of cultural and technical knowledge. This has destroyed empires. This is the biggest commonality here for me because enforcing standards and basic values has never been more chaotic along with the technical knowledge. I think the 5-alarm fire here for many coaches is that decrease. We are seeing a massive decrease in game IQ for our athletes across all sports. They're not watching the game. They're not understanding how they play. They've been heavily engineered in the youth space to have coaches tell them where to stand and what to do instead of growing their knowledge of the game. We talk about the exposure and the coverage. We talk about it, inequality. We're looking at what's happening right now in women's basketball with Caitlin Clark. There's been this explosion of exposure. This is a generation that has the most availability to watch their sports on every single media. And I fully acknowledge that many of those platforms are able to abbreviate the scenes of our athletes, where we're watching celebrations, scores, successes, 5-second clips. Our athletes are seeing the best parts. They're scrolling, remember? And therefore, those are the only measures constantly coming at them. And the last contributor to the empire falling is a widespread change in values and opinions, which is basically wrapping up all that I've already said. Look at the commonality of a societal structural collapse. What am I trying to tell you? This is not an emergency for sports. It's an emergency for our society. Dan Hurley of UConn men's basketball spoke about this recently in a video piece. Many, many people sent it to me, and it was very fascinating because I have been talking about this for more than a decade. Dan Hurley spoke on it for about 3 minutes of a much longer chat, and so many were, this is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. But it's been said before, it's things that other coaches that don't win national championships have lived. We have to start thinking more generally rather than our own spaces, because we are one of the branches of the societal tree that has historically been relied on as a manufacturer of leaders. And we're desperately trying to tell the outside world that the assembly line is overwhelmed and that the product is not what we have been previously able to promise, because we're not adhering to the same protocols and we have abandoned all factory policy and standards for our personnel. It's unavoidable that when the system changes, so does the product. I want you to believe coaches when they tell you that the erosion is happening. For all of you out there that do not coach, admins, if you are a support staff, I want you to understand that this is happening. Believe coaches, not just Dan Hurley. This has been a brewing, growing epidemic for more than a decade, and women have been enduring this. People couldn't pay their mortgage because of this epidemic and losing their positions, but that doesn't matter until you hear somebody like Dan Hurley tell you it's a problem. The rest of us regular Joes out there are telling you that it is a problem, and it is a larger part of a societal crumble. So just remember, as you're going through this, we are part of something bigger than sports. We've always known that as coaches. That is it for today. I am your host, Coach Carlson, the Fearless Coach. Please, if you want to hear more content, subscribe to my channel, subscribe to my newsletter. My website is thefearlesscoach.org, thefearlesscoach.org, or visit me on any of my social media channels at @tfcoachcarlson on both Instagram, X, and Facebook. Until next time, to all of my coach friends and colleagues, be fearless.